Morning, and turn to Psalm chapter 34. Now, this is where it gets really cool. This morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 34, and tonight, we're going to be looking at Psalm 32. So, you can come back tonight. We can get a lot of Psalm in today. Every one of us has experienced troubles in our life, and at some point in time, we've been broken. During our time of brokenness, God was there to help us make it through. He often sends people to us to help us. I remember a time in my life when I was broken to the point that I was curled up in a ball in my trailer crying. I had received 4 messages of major bad news within a week. It was during that time I discovered that God was there for me every step of the way. The church I was attending at the time was there to help me walk through the dark valley I found myself in. God would use them to help rebuild and strengthen. As I cried out to God, He heard my prayer and delivered me. It was a little over a year after this that God called me to be a pastor. He would use that time in my life to help grow my faith and help me see my need for Him. As we continue our series, The Lord Sees, today we will know that the Lord sees our afflictions and He delivers us out of them. We need to know that the Lord loves us. We need to know that He is with us at all times. And we need to know that He will deliver us in His time and in His ways. Psalm chapter 34, beginning with verse 15, God's incredible word says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful psalm that you give to us this morning and the hope and encouragement that comes from it. I pray now that I would sit down and that you would stand up, and I pray that every word spoken would be yours and not mine. And I pray that you would use this text to build up and strengthen and encourage and challenge your people to be your people. And I pray, Lord, that you would just strengthen us through your word, that you would remind us that you are there with us each and every step of the way. And I pray that we would find hope and comfort and peace in you today. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. The Lord sees good and evil. As we start out, notice the way the psalmist uses his words. He says eyes, ears, and face. And so we see this incredible description. It says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteousness and his ears are open to their cry. But then he says the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut them off the remembrance of them from the earth. And he says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their trouble. So we see that God sees both good and evil. God sees everything. And there is absolutely nothing that is hidden from God. At sometimes we like to think, well, no one will ever know I did this or no one will ever see this. But I promise you, God sees. Everything that we do, everything that we say, every move that we make, every action that we take, God sees. And so David knew what it was like to find himself in trouble. If anyone understood what it was like to be in trouble, he was known as a man after God's own heart. And when he was running from Saul, he did not deserve having to run from Saul. And so this psalm was written most likely during the time that he was running from Saul. And so he knew what it was like to be afflicted without deserving it. Yes, there are times in David's life where he did sin against God and deserved a lot of the punishment that he got. But in this time, in this moment, he is running from Saul because of Saul's paranoia. And so death was on David's doorsteps a few times. As we read through the story of the life of David, we know that Saul threw his spear at David a couple times trying to pin him to the wall. There was one time when David, when they told him David was sick, and so Saul says, "Bring him up in his bed so I can kill him." That's the type of person that Saul had become. Saul would pursue David multiple times trying to end his life. Each and every time, God would deliver David from the hand of Saul and eventually make him king. The Lord heard the prayers of his righteous one. David recognizes that the Lord sees him in his time of trouble. David knew that as he was running from Saul, that God was with him. David knew that God would be the one to one day make him king because it was a promise that God had made to David. And David believed in the promises of God. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Both the eyes and ears of God are tuned in to his people. So when we feel like there are times that God does not see us or hear us, that is not true. Because God sees you. God hears you. There is absolutely nothing that God does not see. There is absolutely nothing that God does not hear. There is no such thing as you are caller number 10. Estimated wait time, 50 minutes. That doesn't happen when we call out to God. God sees and hears all that we go through. And when we cry out to him, his ears are open to listen to our pleas. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to know that every prayer you pray, God hears. And God knows. He hears. But we also see that there is a key in this text. The key is that we are to be righteous. What does that mean? Does that mean that we have to be sinless perfection? Of course not, because that's not possible this side of heaven. No matter how hard we try, we cannot reach sinless perfection. You know, I shared this with the Sunday school class, and I have to share this with you all this morning just to show you our human nature. Last Sunday, I preached on the fact that we have to watch our words because our words are important. And then Monday night at VBS, I'd said something I shouldn't have said. Like, I just preached not to do this, and now here I am doing this. And so then I had to say, "Lord, forgive me." And it reminds us of our human nature. And so the key is we are to be righteous. It doesn't mean sinless perfection. Because you and I, we're going to sin. We're going to make mistakes. But when we do, we are to confess those sins. We are to admit that we were wrong. We are to ask for God's forgiveness. And we are to do our best to live our life for Him. What it means to be righteous is to live our lives the best that we can for God. To live a righteous life is to live for God and not for ourselves. Again, we say that, well, I've given my life to Christ, so that means I'm going to heaven no matter what I do. That is not the attitude of a Christian. Because as we read the scripture, we see our need to obey. We see a need to live for Jesus. We see the need to do what is right no matter what. That's what it means to be righteous. Could David have taken the kingdom by force? Absolutely. There was a couple times when he could have taken Saul's life, but he refused to take the kingdom that way, and he waited on God's time. And so the righteous person lives for God the best that they can. Abraham was considered righteous, even though he sinned. David was considered righteous, even though he sinned. When we do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, that is righteousness. And He sees that, and He will take care of us. And so, a lot of times, we're like, I just don't understand why God is not hearing me. Are you practicing sin? Have you confessed your sin? Now, these are things that we have to look at. No, we cannot lose our eternal security, but we can hinder our relationship with Almighty God. Our sin separates us from God. And that's why the Bible tells us that we are to confess our sin. And when we confess our sin, He forgives us. A great example of what it looks like when a righteous person cries out to God and God delivers them is in 2 Chronicles 18 with King Jehoshaphat. And this is what it says. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise, but you wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Aram had ordered his chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone small or great except the king of Israel. When the chariot commander saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, this is the king of Israel. So they turned to attack him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. God drew them away from him. Now the context of this story is Ahab called a prophet. The prophet said he was going to die, and that Ahab was going to die in battle because Ahab was wicked, and then his wife Jezebel was probably even more wicked than him. And so it was predicted and prophesied that Ahab would die in this battle. So Ahab's like, hey, I'm going to disguise myself. Now you look like the king. And so everybody thought he was the king and started attacking him. But he cries out to God and God spares him. In the same battle, a random arrow hits Ahab that costs him his life and he dies later. God sees good and evil. And when the righteous cry out to God for help, God is there to hear their prayer and deliver them. When we seek to live for the Lord and cry out to Him, He will deliver us from our troubles. And here's something we need to understand. God will always deliver us from our troubles when we cry out to Him. It just may not look like how we think. Sometimes God will answer our prayers for deliverance in ways that we will never expect. I spent a long time praying for God to deliver me from my struggle with anxiety. And you know how He did? With getting the right medicine to balance the chemicals in my brain. But I refused to take medicine because I was always told, you just need to have more faith. So you're telling me, so the next time, anybody that believes that way, anybody that believes that you just need to have more faith when you're struggling with anxiety or something like that, the next time you break a bone, I don't want you going to the doctor because you just need to have more faith that it'll heal itself. The same thing is true with our head. The same thing is true whether it's some people struggle with depression, some people struggle with anxiety, and sometimes it is a chemical imbalance in our brain. And so I never expected God to deliver me the way that He did. I never expected it to be through medicine. But that's how God chose to do it. And the more I research, the more I see, the more people struggle with it. And so God doesn't always deliver us the way that we think He will. God delivers His people, but sometimes we must go through the wilderness in order to get to the promised land. Did God promise that he would bring his people into the promised land? Even before Abraham died, God told Abraham that his descendants would be slaves for 400 years before they entered into the promised land. And so the people became slaves in Egypt. And when the people cried out to God in their time of trouble, God sent Moses and he delivered them. Sometimes we have to be on the run from Saul before we can become king. And sometimes we have to be thrown in prison in order to praise the Lord and get the jailer and his entire family saved, as happened with Paul. God will deliver us from our troubles, but sometimes we have to go through our troubles because God's got something big. Because Paul and Silas was thrown in prison for preaching Jesus, they began to praise the Lord. And as they praised the Lord, the jailer and his entire family gave his heart and his life to Christ. So God used that. When you look at the life of Joseph and everything that he went through, Joseph had to go from the pit through the prison in order to get to the palace. But God delivered him every step of the way. The Lord sees and hears his people, so we can know that he sees and hears us when we cry out to him. But we can also know that his face is set against evil. It's so easy in our world today to get discouraged when we see evil people prospering. When we look at our world today, we see a lot of evil people prospering. We see wickedness running rampant. This was the issue that Habakkuk saw. When Habakkuk wrote his prophecy, he comes before God and he says, God, how long are you going to let these people treat you like this? And so God says, it's all good, Habakkuk. I'm going to bring the Babylonians against them and destroy them. And then Habakkuk comes back to God and says, what? You're going to use somebody worse than us to destroy us? How is that just? And God says, I'm going to destroy the Babylonians too. And so in the end, Habakkuk's like, okay, God, I trust you. I trust you. They will get theirs too. The Lord sees the evil that people do in this world, and they will have to answer for it. Every evil thing, every wicked act will be dealt with by God. It may seem like they're getting away with it right now, but their evil cannot escape the eyes of the Lord. He knows the truth. How many peoples do we see in the Bible where God cut them off because of their disobedience? When you go back into the Old Testament and you read of Korah's rebellion against Moses, God completely wiped that family off the face of the earth. Look at what happened to Pharaoh's army when they pursued the Israelites into the Red Sea and the sea drowned them. Look at what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they decided in their hearts to lie against the Holy Spirit. Ananias comes in before Peter and says, this is what we did. And Peter says, why'd you lie? And he dies. Then his wife comes in and says, did you do it for this much? It wasn't that they only gave so much. It was that they lied about it. That was the problem. They lied about it trying to look better. And so she says, yeah, we did. And he's like, why did you and your husband decide to lie against the Holy Spirit? Those that carried your husband away are here to carry you. And she fell dead because of disobedience to God. The Lord sees everything we do. For those who seek to do what is wrong, God's going to deal with that. And that's kind of scary. You know, we preach about a loving God. We preach about a good God. And he is a good and loving God. But he is also a just and wrathful God. And he has given us very clear stipulations on how we are to live and act and how we are to obey the word of God. And when we do not obey the word, God will deal with us. He sees good and evil. And there are so many Christians, so many professing Christians that is walking around today thinking they got it made, that nothing's ever going to happen to them, that they can do whatever they want and get away with it. But I'm here to tell you that God sees and we will all answer to God. We will all give an account to Holy God. We've got a lot of people that we like to call
Christmas and Easter Christians. Now, you see them twice a year. Now, we've got those that are Sunday morning Christians. I act like a Christian on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, I live like the rest of the world. That is not a Christian.
A Christian is someone that is dedicated and devoted to God. A Christian is someone that has been changed and transformed by the incredible goodness of Jesus Christ. A Christian is someone who lives their lives for Jesus, no matter what anybody else says or thinks. And God sees everything that we do, including our actions, including our motives, including our thoughts, including our words. In our world today, it can seem as though the wicked prosper, and those of us who try to live our lives right can't seem to get ahead. But that's not the way it's always going to be. Those who act evil, those who stand against God, will answer for what they have done. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14, written by Solomon, says this: "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." We all get God's attention and His eyes see us. One for good, one for judgment. Which are we? What is God seeing today when He looks at our lives? Does He see good or evil? Does He see His Son or does He see the world? Well, next, the psalmist talks about how we all face afflictions. So first, the Lord sees everything. Second, we still face afflictions. When we give our heart and our life to Christ, that doesn't mean that everything is perfect. Verses 18 and 19 says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You say, when we come to God, we are to come in humility. When we are brokenhearted, sometimes God has to break our heart to help us to see our need for Him. Sometimes we need a wake-up call, and God has to do something to humble us, to help us see that our need for Him. When we come to God, we should come in humility. A contrite spirit means crushed or beat down. Sometimes we feel beaten down, and when we come to God with our needs, we can know that He is there to help us. The text says He is close to the hurting. He knows our hearts when they're breaking. He sees and offers great comfort to us. Is your heart breaking today over something? Is your heart hurting? Are you here this morning and you're like, you know, I'm brokenhearted over this? God's near you. God's with you. God is near us today. If you're in a good place, then God is near you. Rejoice and praise God that you are in a good place. And help those that are not. If you're dealing with afflictions, then God is near you too. Take strength in Him and take strength in those around you. I always love to remember the famous Footprints in the Sand poem. This beautiful poem where the person is walking down and he looks down and sees two footprints in the sand. And then he says to God, "God, why is it in the most difficult times of my life I only see one set of footprints?" And God says, "It's because in those moments I'm carrying you." And that is a true reminder of what God does for us and how He is there for us. Even though we give our life to Christ, troubles still come. When we face troubles, when we give our lives to Jesus, the devil doesn't like that. And so he is going to do everything in his power to bring us down. As long as he has us, he does not need to attack us. Yet when we live our lives for Jesus, we come under great attack. I always tell people, if the devil is not attacking you, that means he's got you and you should be concerned. Because when we seek to live our life for Christ, we are going to be attacked. The enemy is going to attack us. And sadly, often we choose to become the mouthpiece for Satan. A lot of times, we can be the ones complaining about something God is doing and discourage people who are serving God. We can be the ones that always find something wrong. It doesn't matter how good things are or how good things are going, we will find something to complain about. That's what Satan does to bring down the people of God. I've heard so many people say, I don't want to serve because people complain about how I do it. And usually, one of the things that I've noticed is most of the people that complain are people that don't do squat. And so as we think about that, we face troubles. And the reason we face troubles is because we're doing the right thing for God a lot of times. As long as the devil has us, he doesn't need to attack us. One commentary says, the Lord promises deliverance from such things, but that is not the same as exemption from them. Nor does it necessarily come when or how we want it. And I think that's a good reminder to us. God promises to deliver us. He does not promise to keep us exempt. When we give our heart and our life to Christ, there will be problems. There will be struggles. We see that the righteous have many troubles. David was considered a righteous man, but he had a lot of troubles. Saul, aka Paul the Apostle, was considered a righteous man, but he had a lot of troubles. Jesus is the ultimate righteous man. And look at all the troubles he went through. Just because we follow Jesus does not mean everything's going to be unicorns and rainbows and hugs and kisses. That's not what the Bible promised. There's no such thing as a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. There's no such thing as be the better you. Everything is about Jesus and what He did on the cross. When we give our lives to Jesus, we still face trouble. How do we know this is true? Because we've seen it in our lives. Is there anyone in here that since you've given your life to Christ has never had any problems or troubles? Now, I don't see any hands raised. Because when you give your life to Christ, we still struggle. We still face afflictions. We still have hard times. When we give our lives to Christ, the problems don't go away. Even so, God will bring us through them. Because every affliction that we've had, every problem that we've faced, everything that we've had to deal with, we still here, ain't we? Why? Because God brought us through it. Because God has delivered us. May have not have been in the way that we thought. May not have been in the way we expected, but God has brought us through. God has delivered us. He will be with us each and every step of the way. He will protect us. Jesus even tells us that we will have troubles. In John, He says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Our hope, our help, our peace, our joy, all come from Jesus. He will deliver us. Jesus would face much pain and distress, even though He was perfectly righteous. He would be mocked, beaten, spit upon, and hung on a cross to die. He would be buried in the ground. However, He would be delivered from the grave on the third day, and He would rise again. We have troubles and pain, but the Lord will deliver us in the same way. God will bring us through. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we have ultimate deliverance because of who Jesus is and what He did on the cross. Verse 20 is a powerful verse, but we can miss so much of verse 20 if we don't understand everything that goes on in it. Verse 20 says, He guards all His bones. Not one of them is broken. There is so much history and theology in this simple statement of David. It helps us to see the ultimate way that God delivers us all. In this verse, David talks about bones not being broken. When we go back to the Old Testament, we learn that the Passover lamb, which was used to deliver the people from the angel of God when He killed the firstborn of Egypt, was not to have any broken bones. We learn that every year as they offered the Passover lamb, it was not to have any broken bones. Exodus 12:46 says, it must be eaten inside the house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of the bones. Numbers 9:12 says, they must not leave any of it till morning or break any of its bones. When they celebrate the Passover, they must follow all the regulations. The Passover lamb constantly reminded the people of what God did for them when He heard their cries, saw their pain, and delivered them from Egypt. The Passover lamb was a reminder that the people had been set free. And as we move into the New Testament, we learn rather quickly that Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. In John 1:29, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus is the Lamb. Revelation 5 teaches us, "And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. I wept and wept because no one was found. It was worthy to open the scroll or look inside of it. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. And it was that lamb that was worthy to open the scrolls." When Jesus died on the cross, not one of His bones were broken, even though this was a common practice in crucifixion. John 19:36 says, "These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled, not one of His bones will be broken." Jesus, the descendant of David, the perfectly righteous one, would suffer and die on the cross to set us free. No bones broken here in verse 20 takes us to the cross and helps us to see the hope that comes from Jesus. The most significant way that God delivers you and I from troubles is by sending Jesus to take our place on the cross and to take our sin. Because the greatest trouble that you and I face is sin. The greatest thing that we struggle with and deal with is sin and the penalty that comes from sin. But God, in His love for us, sent Jesus to die on the cross and to deliver us from the penalty of sin. Paul would later write in 2 Corinthians 5, "God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God." So God hears the prayers of the righteous. How do we become righteous? We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And it is Jesus who makes us right before Holy God. If you're here today and you've never been delivered from the penalty of sin, I want to invite you to come and meet Jesus today. The Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our sins. If you're here today and you're going through a hard time, I want you to know that the Lord sees you and hears your cries to Him. I want you to know that He loves you and that He's with you. And if you're struggling today, I want to challenge you, come. cry out to God, Lord, heal. Lord, deliver. If you're here today and need to be delivered by the power of God, then come. Set your life right with Him and watch what He can do. God will deliver His people when they cry out to Him. How do we know that? Because the Bible says so. Because the Word of God teaches us that truth. Lord, we thank You for this passage. We thank You for the encouragement that comes from it. Lord, I pray for anyone here today or joining us online who might be broken or hurting or struggling. I pray that they would hear today and be reminded that You see, that You hear, and that You deliver. Lord, I pray for those that are evil. I pray for those that do not live for You or follow after You, that they would hear the truth of the gospel, and that they would surrender their heart and their life to Christ and seek to live for Him. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know You, that they would come today and accept You as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one in here today that You would deliver us from whatever we need delivered. Maybe we need to be delivered from sin. I pray that You would deliver us from sin and set us free by the saving grace of Jesus Christ on the cross. If we need delivered from sickness, I pray that Your incredible healing hand would be upon us and that You would deliver us from the sickness that is afflicting us. If we need delivered from cancer, I pray, Lord, that You would intervene and deliver us from cancer. If we need delivered from an attitude that is wrong, that does not line up with Your will, I pray that You would deliver whatever it is that we are struggling with, whatever it is that we're hurting with, whatever it is that we got holding us down or holding us back, Lord, I pray that You would deliver Your righteous ones, that You would help us to see and to know that You are there, that You hear, that You see, and that you move among Your people. And Lord, I pray that You would deliver us from a stagnant standstill and that You would break out in this church in revival like never before. I pray that You would deliver our hearts from wickedness and selfishness and evilness, and that we would stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and that You would just continue to move in this church as only You can, that You would set our hearts free from sin, that You would bring us to a place of revival, that You would bring us to a place of unity, that You would bring us to a place where we see salvations and baptisms, where we would see lives changed and transformed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we come before You tonight as Your righteous ones, crying out to You, asking that You would move in Your church, that You would move like never before. And so, Lord, right now we just pray, whatever it is that's on our hearts, that we would come to You and be delivered. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.